time. Blow that thing, Biggie. I'm trying.
Skies.
Hey, welcome to the second part of Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Adrian.
So you heard this one last week, so we're continuing on here. So speaking of reboots and sequels, I Am Legend apparently is the whatever company that's putting it out has decided that they are gonna make a sequel to I Am Legend. They haven't figured out the script yet. They just know that they're making it. They've been working on the script for like 2 years, I guess. And Will Smith is saying he won't sign until a script's written and he can read it, which
well,
is probably
it's gotta
a good,
be good
move,
though.
But
I mean, the first movie is so good.
You didn't like the first movie? Can I go off on my rant about that?
Yeah.
Have you ever read the book?
No, but I've seen Omega Man.
Okay, but Omega Man doesn't follow it either, but yeah. At least they changed the name of it and made it sound like something else. Like, the closest to get to the actual story of the book, and they still didn't do it right, was The Last Man on Earth, which was Vincent Price. But, okay, this is the thing. Like, I Am Legend was blowing me away at first, and it seemed really good until the end, dude. And the end just pissed me off to no end. Because I guess we should just throw out spoilers on this. But, like, the end of that is, like, basically, like, he dies, and the lady was a vampire and cures her, and then she goes off, and somehow there's a civilization of people, and they're going to do the cure. Which also leads to the question, like, how the hell can, like, Will Smith be in the next one if he's dead? Because they said it will take place after. It won't be a prequel. Like, he's fucking dead. He died in the explosion,
no,
right?
No, it's like Aliens. They're going to clone him.
Oh, Alien Resurrection?
Ugh. I don't know why they would decide to do that.
Ugh.
Or maybe he's not dead. I don't know how to do it. I just know.
I mean, they'll do something like that, but it won't be what happened.
That was a great movie, and that kind of, in a way, set the stage for stuff like The Walking Dead. Because it's kind of the disease part. It's not
The Walking Dead was already a comic at that point.
I know, but for them not being zombies, the disease part is what caused, you know, people got the disease and that's what caused them to do this.
Yeah, but that's not it. Before that ever came out, there was 28 Days Later. Right. That was way before I Am Legend.
Yeah. It's true.
And to me, that seemed like that's when it became like when the zombie tales became the virus infections. But this is the reason I didn't like I Am Legend. Because, like, it was because of the ending, because they felt like it was building towards the way it ended in the book, and it didn't. So, once again, I'll throw out spoilers here for if you're ever going to read the book, which you should. It's a great book. But let me tell you how the book ends. He finds out that the girl is a vampire, and basically she's been sent there by the Society of the Vampires to watch him and basically to betray him.
She's like one of the she's like the new type of
the vampire. More evolved vampires. Yeah, like the vampires, much like mankind, are evolving, and so she's been sent to spy on him, like find out where he lives and everything, and she decides she's gonna destroy him. Well, what winds up happening is she falls in love with him. He winds up getting captured, okay? And he goes into the cell, and he realizes while he's in the cell, like, he sees whole societies of them, like, families, and they're all looking at him with horror, and they're scared of him, because all day long, his entire existence revolves around killing all of these vampires, like, just destroying them. And he realizes that, like, he has become the monster, he is the monster in Legend. And so she goes into the cell and basically cries to him and tells him she loves him and everything, and she slips him a cyanide capsule so that if he wants to, he can take it, because they're going to publicly execute him to let everybody know the monster is gone. and he realizes that this world has evolved beyond him, and that he's the monster, and decides like it's time for him to go because he's the bad guy now. And so he takes the cyanide pill, and the last words of the book are "I am legend," and like, you know, he dies. He takes the cyanide pill. I thought that was such a great ending because it was such a great twist. Like, you're sitting there reading it and you're thinking like, that would be horrible. You're the last man on earth. Like, everybody's trying to like get you over and over again. And then you realize like, no, like, even though he thinks that that's what he's doing, the reality of it is he's killing everybody who's evolved beyond him.
And you know that
and that's what I got mad about in the movie, was they went the pussy happy ending, because they were building towards that, dude. And I almost wonder if there's like an alternate cut and the director wasn't allowed to, because it felt like that's what they built towards. You had the woman he didn't trust, that they didn't really like get into that too much. He was noticing that the vampires were becoming more evolved. Like, he made that notice. So I thought that's what they're leading towards. No. They went the pussy no. Happy ending, dude.
He was like, no.
And that's my problem with the movie.
No. When you said that, made me think. The other day I was at Ross, and they have the big old box set of I Am Legend. It's a huge box.
What do you mean?
Of DVDs.
Of I Am Legend?
Yeah.
Like the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like a big box set?
Yes.
I was thinking you meant like just tons and tons of movies.
No, the box set. It's like a fancy one. It's a big size.
That has like an official Will Smith like cast of his head or something.
Something, yeah.
Something like that inside it.
Actual signed by the Fresh Prince.
I saw one of those for Showgirls, and I was like, really? Like, what could you possibly even put in there? A pair of Elizabeth Berkeley's panties? Yuck.
Oh, yeah, you can have those back.
Yeah, no, thank you. I don't want that box set, but I'm sorry. Anyway.
You're right, thanks. I got the clap already. I don't need that now.
So, I Am Legend. You saw the box set.
And I was almost bought it, because I thought the movie was so good. I remember we rented that movie in the deep winter and watch it at our old house on 10th. And probably nobody listening to this knows anything about 10th. It's a street they still live on. But
right.
I used to live in this old like miner's house that was like 100 years old. And our bedroom was in the very top of the house. The second story, but really third, because it has a finished basement. But the third story, the second story of the house, right, was only the bedroom. And we watched that. And we watched that on our computer while we laid in bed, while there was a violent snowstorm outside. And then I was working at the fairgrounds as well at that time. I worked night shift there. So at nighttime, and there's a violent snowstorm, it is creepy. And I'm the only one there at night. Creepy, creepy. And I'm looking down from the main gate, I'm looking down toward the other end. And I can like see the what do they call them?
Vampires. I don't think they ever really call them anything.
They call them night something.
Night stalkers.
Something like that. I can see one coming and running down toward me. I was like, ah! That movie freaked me out. That's one thing I would say that, and maybe it's because I knew too much ahead of time about The Walking Dead. I can appreciate the amount of special effects. When they show zombies that are half bodies and their guts are slipping out and all that kind of stuff, that's impressive. That looks real.
Yeah.
But the zombies don't have that horror, like true dread feeling. I don't get that feeling when I see them. Like in I Am Legend, I was freaked out by those guys.
See, I would argue though, in Walking Dead, I feel total horror, like that first episode, like it's the best ending to an episode ever, I thought, like for any show, was like that first one where he rides his horse in Atlanta.
They eat the horse?
Yeah, and they just devour the horse, and they're all coming towards him, and he crawls under the tank, and you see them crawling under really fast, And then he gets up in there, and you're like, oh, he's safe. And then the thing next to him is a zombie and goes to go after him.
Well, the
then
one
he
thing...
shoots it, the bullet ricochets. Like, that was awesome, dude. That filled me with dread watching that, because you see him on the horses, and you see them all start to gather around, and it's like, oh, God. And then you just see that entire street, like, filled with them. It's like, oh,
the one
shit.
The one thing I don't want, though, to happen is, and I'm sure it won't, because it probably doesn't happen in those comic books, so they won't do it. But they might. I don't want there to be, like, a lead zombie.
Oh, no, no. They don't do that in the comics. In fact, if they're even following the comics a little bit, and it's, there's a shift
where the humans become the ones that are worse.
And, like, the humans are the ones that you fear, because the zombies are predictable.
No, that happened in the last episode.
Yeah, and it looks like they're heading in that direction, but, like... The zombies are, like, the reason they're in this horrible existence, and they still always have to be on their toes because of them. But the survivors are so much worse than the zombies could ever be, because they can think. And they can come at you full speed, and they can come at you with guns and things.
Well,
and,
yeah, exactly, you know, and...
You know, zombies don't rape people.
Right, they don't have they don't have reason, they just eat.
Right.
That's the one thing I thought of when... this last episode happened when the guys from Philadelphia showed up. Was remember in the first or second episode when the survivors with Lori and Shane, and they heard them over the radio, but they couldn't get in touch with them. They didn't know who it was. I was like, man, imagine if you were those people and you had that radio out, and people are like, they know you're there and they're coming, and you don't know who those people are.
Yeah, and I don't think they've like hit that realization yet either. And it's more in the comics than it is in the show, but like there's this, like, the person that Rick is at the beginning of the comics and the person who Rick is now in the comics, he's not even recognizable. I mean, not only physically, but like just mostly in his temperament. I mean, like, he was just like the guy who was gonna save the world and, like, you know, be the white hero on the Shining Force, right, or whatever. Right. And like, but like now in the comics, he's the grim realist who will take down a motherfucker without hesitation. Mm-hmm. Even his own, like, at a certain point, he starts to look at the people in his group. And he's, like, ranking them, like, who would, if I had to save a person, who would I save over the other person? And it's more about their value to the group. It has nothing to do with who they are
like
as a person.
I kind of like how they're doing that. I like how they're doing that, because it's, they're, like you said, when it starts, you think you have this character.
Yeah, they evolve
then,
the shit out of
them. Yeah, the character changes. Before you know it, there's, like, four characters ago. That's how they are, because of what they're having to go through.
And I don't want to give away a huge thing, which I'm pretty sure they'll do on the show, but Rick goes through a huge thing that's just, like, unbelievable. Like, physically, he has to go through something that's just, like, I can't fucking believe it. And he still survives and still does. And I would say, even after it happens, he's more deadly in the comic, like, after it happens than he is before it happens. And it's just amazing, dude. Like, the writing, and I've been, this is the thing too, like, I've been hearing so much on the internet and, like, just various people talking about The Walking Dead, and there's always haters, you know what I mean? Haters are gonna hate, but, like, people are attacking the writing of, like, the comics, and then they're attacking the writing of the show, being like, well, it's Robert Kirkman in both of them, so, you know, what do you expect, and all this snotty shit. Those people need to shut the fuck up, dude, because the writing in that comics are so good, and the writing in the show at times is great and at times isn't great. Like, I'll be honest, dude, it's spotty. Like, the second season, the first six episodes, it wasn't the best little run, but I thought the first six episodes were really good. I thought the last two episodes of the show were really good. Although I might not, when I say the last two episodes, keep in mind this was recorded in the past, people. I haven't seen the very last one that will have come out when I post this, but back to my point, I think that the writing's pretty good in it, and for them to, like, be able to pull off a zombie show that honestly is more about the characters than it is about the zombies and have it work, you gotta give it some credit. And if you don't like it, don't watch the motherfucker. That's the thing that kills me, is there's so many people who are down on it, but they don't even, that like they fucking watch the show week after week. It's like, don't fucking watch it if you don't like it. You know what I mean? I would rather these people just shut the fuck up and not watch it, and they can do what they want. Because that's the only problem with the show when it gets really popular, is sometimes I feel like they gotta cater to the masses. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to cater to the masses. I want them to do what makes the show good. What makes the show good is when they slay the shit out of zombies, when they're worried about people. I could do with a little less of the whole stating a problem two or three times, which they seem to have gone away from in the second part of the season. But before it would be like, yeah, Shane's losing control. And they have that conversation like 15 times. Yeah. But now it kind of seems like Shane's just losing control and they're not talking about it as much. It's just, it's happening.
Well, it's because you're watching a TV show and you can see it happening.
Yeah.
You know something's up. I thought that was brilliant when they had Otis's funeral, the way that they did that. Very symbolic. When he was wearing Otis's clothes, they were way too big for him.
Yeah.
He just looked like you knew something was happening. And you knew that he was welcoming it. Like, he...
he had his Travis Bickle moment.
If you remember when him and Dale were talking, when Dale hid the guns, and Dale told him that this is the perfect place for you because it's the kind of man he was to begin with.
Yeah. Well, he was, and to me, Shane, okay, this is a thing, like, and a lot of people like Shane out the gate. And maybe not so much now, but like, I thought he was a douchebag from the beginning. Like, the way that they introduce his character is him, like, berating his wife. Was it his wife or his girlfriend or whatever? Who, for leaving the lights on and going into her daddy issues and how he wants to smack her around, but he can't and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't understand how this is a guy that you want to follow.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I, like, I get that Rick's been friends with him since high school and he's a cop and, you know, it's just natural that you're going to get like an aggressive sort of person as a friend in a police force, because a lot of cops are overly aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all of them, but there's a good percentage for sure. And I don't know. Like, I don't know how people got into Shane that much. However, I do gotta say the actor does a great job who plays Shane.
What I found surprising was that I went on Wikipedia and was going through some of the actors and who they are, what they've done and stuff.
He was in The Pacific, the miniseries that HBO did about World War II, like the Japanese. Like, did you ever hear Band of Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay, they did that again, but they call it The Pacific, and it's about the Pacific part of the war, not the Europe part of the war.
The Pacific, not the general.
Pacific Ocean, basically.
Yeah, not the general, the Pacific.
Right. And so he was one of the characters in that. Does a great job. I think he's out after the first episode, but...
Still, there's a lot of actors on that show that were classically trained actors.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't think would be on something like this, but they are. I think what you said is... And I was telling people at work who asked about the show, and they're like, isn't that about zombies? And I'm like, no. It's about these people's relationships and how they deal with these situations. I'm like, you get to a point where zombies are just a backdrop.
Yeah.
They don't even deal with them. It's just the scenery in the background.
And they do it, I think that they, in terms of the zombies... They've done that appropriately. Like, they started out the show with, like, the zombies were there was something to be feared, and they were in the forefront of everything. And then as you go on in the show, it's more about the characters, because, like, that's how you would be in that world. At first you would be overcome with, like, the dread of, like, zombies everywhere and all the death. And then at a certain point, you can't live that way. You just can't live like that anymore. So it's more about the people who are alive around you and how you deal with day-to-day struggles. I mean, even the graphic novel, the way that they introduce that is they say, like, imagine yourself in a world where everything's not not pre-packaged and there for, you know, for your convenience all the time. Like, you have to struggle to get by. I mean, the comic's not about zombies. It's about, like, people trying to get by in a world that where it's not an accommodating
you
world
You could put
anymore.
Anything in there for the zombies. It could be, this extreme poverty as right. zombies. It could be, just groups of people who are zombies.
But I mean, in a sense, it is. It is like complete poverty because you have to steal whatever you can get. Mm-hmm. You like, you have to kill a motherfucker to hold it.
What was
you know what I mean? Like, it's. I mean, that's a perfect example of saying poverty right yeah. there. I mean,
what was the one thing I thought was interesting was, and this is totally to do with the show, but doesn't really have to do with something important as what we've been talking about with the show. Was how different groups of people from different parts of the countries have different names for the zombies.
Yeah.
They call them the lame brains and then walkers, which you start to think that's what you started with as a fan of the show. It's just walkers. And then you hear someone called the lame brain. What were some of the other names, dude?
I remember from the comic, they would say lurkers. And, like, they originally start out with three different names for the zombies. I think the walkers are the ones who come after you that are kind of fresh. The lurkers are the ones that just kind of hang out in one place. And
that's another thing.
And
I never understood that.
Come after you.
But I guess it's because they don't have any reason. They're just instinct. They're yeah. just moving. Was why, like, at the high school where Otis got killed, they literally were just hanging out. It's like, I didn't understand
so it's a
much.
Herd. They explain it in the comic a lot better. At a certain point, they really address a lot of things. And, like, one thing that happens in the comics is that they will not fire a gun unless they absolutely have to. Because what happens when you fire a gun is you've just let every zombie within hearing of that bullet, let them know where you're at. Mm-hmm. And they all slowly converge. And then you have to deal with all these motherfuckers who are coming. Then on top of it, like, if a zombie sees another zombie just, like, brush up against a door, they'll think that they're trying to get into the door because there's somebody there, and so more will gather. And then pretty soon you have what they call a herd that just gathers. And it's, like, unstoppable when you see a herd. It's just all these zombies. And a lot of time it just started with
that reminded
one zombie
me of
not
I Am Legend 2 with the Hive.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and that's what,
they have a lot of reason behind a lot of this stuff with the zombies. And
I was trying to explain to somebody about, they're like, how can someone who only has half of a body, how can they still be coming after you? And I was like, you know, that's a good point. People who are looking to make, you know, to make it seem like it's not real, or it's not real, people. It's a zombie movie. It's a zombie
yeah,
show.
And I think that they're smart in not explaining it. Like, they really don't explain it in the CDC thing. They just say, like, there's just the primal part of the brain that's left, but they don't explain anything behind mm-hmm. it. And I think that's a wise decision, because your brain's not going to buy anything that they say. You know what I mean? And that's, like, a lot of the zombie movies in the past. It's like Night of the Living Dead, it's some kind of experiment that the government was doing, I think. Or the whole thing with it being a virus and stuff like that. I think it takes away from... You don't want to know why it happened, because, like...
You have to share.
It becomes less believable when that happens.
Yeah, it does. Let me put it this way. It's very rare that a TV show will come along, or even a movie, that will have me sitting here talking to you about the show, and not even talking about what happened in the show. Talking about things that are just raised
yeah.
by the show itself.
Yeah, you want to know what's going to happen next.
I liked this site for Gerber, the knife company, because in the scene when they were in the... when the herd kind of goes through, not... at that point, but before, when they're stuck in the traffic and they're siphoning gas and going through and get whatever they can, there's that guy that the kid's name? What's the son's name?
Carl.
Carl. He opens up that one and he's not sure if it's a zombie or not, but it was a dead guy.
Yeah, dude, that was freaky.
He had all those knives and everything. Those are all Gerber knives. Gerber paid to have the honor of putting their knives and stuff in this movie. So that you can, now you can, I'm loaded up to see if I can win the exact group of knives that they have now for. And I was like, do you know what? That is an awesome idea. You know, like, oh, I wish I would have thought about that. I would have made some noise.
So your big takeaway from the season 2 premiere was like, that's some good product placement.
Well, I was just, for me, I like.
Hey,
I
collect, isn't that my brand of canned tuna? Yeah.
hold on real quick. Let's get back to that. I'm a fan of knives. I like collecting them. So I noticed them. And I noticed that, I know that BG on that orange handle meant Bear Grylls. And that's a Gerber knife. And I was like, I bet. Then they had the hatchet was a Gerber and everything else. Sophia, when Daryl came across that old house that she slept in overnight,
uh-huh,
with the little blanket and everything, and she had eaten the tuna or the sardines or whatever out of that, and she was all in that little closet, that cubby underneath the cupboard.
Yeah, I don't even remember that now. It's so long ago.
Oh, I knew that she was going to be a zombie because I saw something on the computer where they were talking about it, and there was a picture of her being a zombie.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, she's going to be a zombie. But I was like, oh, maybe that's just like a dream someone's having.
And I got to say, that was a nice... They went on that storyline too long. Or at least they hammered it too long. They looked for it too long because it did dominate too much of like the next 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when you're watching it week to week, like, it may not have seemed so bad when you watch them all in one chunk, but when you're watching them week to week, you're just like, fuck, just resolve this shit already. You know what I mean? Like, you want...
and half of the group.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. No kidding, because that became a big fight.
Mm.
But the thing of it is, like, being a fan of the comic, like, that was surprising to me. Like, I didn't expect her to be dead. You know, or undead, rather, when she came out of the barn. And that didn't happen in the comic book. She's still alive in the comic book, you know.
But
what a great character to do it to, because honestly, she didn't do shit in the comic book.
No,
she just serves as a way to, like, see, like, fucked up that the world has gotten, in a way, because she's just completely unrealistic about shit. Like, she actually wound up... I might as well just tell you, since it's not going to happen in the show.
She's gone already in the show.
Well, no, she in the comics, she winds up being Maggie and... What's-his-face's kid?
So Maggie is going to be
the Asian gentleman. I can't think of his name.
Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn.
So that's what I'm trying to figure out, is that does Glenn and some people stay at the farmhouse with them, or does some of them team up and go with...
I'm not comfortable telling you yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable telling you yet. But I will tell you that so far, I believe that there's only... Of the characters who are still alive in the show, and the characters that were still alive in the comic books, I think there's only 3 in the comic books who are still alive. I mean, you figure like 7 and 8.5 years going... For the comic series, like, that's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Those 3 characters that they're still alive.
And you got Morgan. I love the guy.
I won't talk about him. You'll have to read about it. So you read the comic books, you get to know what happens with that. They may never resolve that, because that happens way later in the comics. Way later is when they run into him.
I think that...
Like, Kirkman literally, like, let that shit ride for... about 6 or I don't know, for like 5-6 years before he finally resolved that shit. So
I kept thinking that the way that they, like I said, the way that they separated,
that they're gonna be wind up,
they're gonna have to
back together, right?
They're
away.
Gonna have to, and it'll be without a son. I have a feeling it'll be without a son.
I'm not gonna tell you. Read the book.
I will.
Time Life, read the book.
I think Time Life. Oh, that's a commercial reference.
Yeah, remember? Did you hear about the ghosts in Egypt? Mm-hmm. What about them? Read the book.
I might have to go buy them. I might have to go buy them just so I have them.
The Time Life books?
No, the
the comic books.
The comics, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those funny things. Like,
but didn't you just don't you have them all? And then you
I have every single one.
And then
yes.
You just bought a single the other day.
I went to and I left it on the counter. I forgot to grab it.
Oh.
I left it on the counter before I paid for it. Like, it was in a separate spot from all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what happened was I saw Game of Thrones like Mexican Blu-ray that was up on the counter. And I was like,
Mexican Blu-ray.
It was, dude. It was a Mexican Blu-ray, and it was 50 cents. And I was like, no fucking way, a Blu-ray for 50 cents. It's a good show, though.
Is it a good show?
It is.
Yeah.
You have to stick with it, though. Like, there's 10 episodes in the first season.
And, is it related? Related to the other shows that are in that same genre?
What do you mean by related?
Are they spinoffs of?
No. It's its own thing. It's its own series.
What's the other ones?
Well, Game of Thrones is the series that it's from, and I don't know the name of the books because I've never read them. But basically, like what the first season is about is like intrigue that leads up to controlling the throne. Like there's like basically two really powerful families. Mm-hmm. That are like vying for power, and then there's a whole nother plot on another side of the world that's going on. But it's kind of awesome. Like you get through the first episode and you're like, wow, and then like the next 4 or 5 episodes like are kind of confusing because there's stuff happening, but you can't remember anybody's names. And then by like, I swear to God, by episode 6, you're like, oh, I know who all these guys are. Like you remember their names. You know who they're talking about when they're talking back and forth. And then the shit really ratchets up. And by the time you get to the 10th episode, let me put it this way. There is a child in this show who you want to see violently die. You just want to see it happening. My wife wants to see him violently dead. And she's not that type of person who wishes violent deaths on children. But you want this kid to like suffer a violent end. And I won't tell you whether he does or not, but like any show that can make you feel that way, probably a good show. And it is. It's a good show.
Kind of in that same genre, or at least
like the fantasy genre.
Yeah, and that timeline too. Kings and Queens and kind of a I don't want to say Dungeons and Dragons because there's no beast or anything like that.
Oh, but... well, there's dragons.
Oh, is there?
Well, they have dragon eggs, but you never see an actual dragon.
Okay, well,
I mean, there's creatures. Dude, the first episode has these creatures. I don't remember what they call them, but they're terrifying looking. And they don't appear again in the series, but, like, I'm waiting for those things to show back up.
Cause, well, they have to grow up.
What's that?
They have to grow up before you can see them again. There's a video game out there, and you play video games, so maybe you played it. It's called Assassin's Creed.
I've heard of it. I've never actually played it, but I had some roommates that were really into it.
That looks like that would be a great movie.
I think they're making that into a movie.
Are they? Because it has all the Illuminati and so everything that Dan Brown books are. Plus, you have actual killing and.
If it is a good movie, it would probably be the first, and I'll debate that with anybody. But I can't think of a single good like video game movie I've ever seen.
What about that one with Fred Savage where he's...
The Wizard?
The Wizard.
Well, that's not based off a video game. Let me get specific. What I mean is any movie that's based off of a video game. Like, I thought Tomb Raider movies were shit. I thought the Resident Evil movies were shit.
See, I've never seen...
I thought Super Mario Brothers was horrible. I know that's a controversial statement. Double Dragon is bad, but I will say it's awesomely bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's the kind of bad where you can, like, laugh at it with some friends if you want to have a
what
bad
are
movie
some
night.
Video games that you think would make you'd want to see in a movie?
I see, at this point, I'm like, I'm jaded, dude. I think they're all going to be bad movies. I think video games are video games, man, and they work well as video games, but... And sometimes they feel like movies, and you're like, wow, this feels like a movie. Then when you turn it into a movie, you're like, wow, this kind of sucks.
Yeah. I saw the preview, and it wasn't, like, on a TV. It was at the theater. I saw the preview for Battleship.
Another preview for it?
But in a theater, I saw the preview.
Wow. How does it hold up in the theater? You're all about Battleship.
No, I'm not.
You and Brandon seem like you would like to see it, but maybe you're just trying to irritate me.
It would irritate you less if it wasn't called Battleship. It would irritate me less if they didn't try. I hate it when they try to get you invested into what happens before the action starts. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's an alien movie. Yeah. Let's get to the aliens. I don't care about if his girlfriend's waving goodbye to him and she might or may not be pregnant. I don't care about that. I just want to see some scrapping. So let's get out there. Let's find this thing. Let's let it beat up everybody if it touches. And then we'll see what's going on. I don't know if I'll see it because Amy might make me see it. It has to do with aliens. She loves aliens.
That's like my least favorite of movie monsters. Unless it's like the actual alien movies. It's not real big into like aliens as a thing.
What gets me is when they're not monsters. It's when they're truly like more intelligent than we are.
Yeah. And
that's scary to me. Like Independence Day. Those aliens were scary, man. Because they were smarter than we were.
Yeah, right. Dude, they got taken down by a Windows 95 laptop, dude. I
mean, Windows 95.
I'm not scared of any futuristic society that gets taken down because Jeff Goldblum obsessively types on a laptop when he gets inside it. And that does it, dude. They just all go down after that. I don't know. I like one-on-one, sure, kind of terrifying. When he holds that corpse up and he's talking through the corpse.
We were talking about this movie the other day, The Mist. Mm-hmm. Andrea from Walking Dead is in The Mist.
Oh, she is? Who's she playing it?
She gets killed in the car.
Oh, she's one of the ones that got... Maybe I should watch again, but it's so depressing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a... It's a Frank Darabont movie, too, so, like, it's not surprising that he reused an actor.
That's what he was saying, yeah, it's the same guy who did it.
Yeah, dude, Frank Darabont's the shit, man. He did that, did The Mist, did The Shawshank Redemption... Like, definitely one of my top five best movies ever. Like, anytime I'm flipping channels and that movie's on, I just gotta stop on it and watch it. Yeah. You have any movies like that?
Hunt for Red October.
Always watch that. I always watch that.
That's a great movie. The Unforgiven.
I've never actually seen The Unforgiven.
It's such a good movie. Morgan Freeman is so good in it. It's just a great, great movie. I can't believe you've never seen it.
Morgan Freeman's good in everything he's in.
Do you mind a spoiler on that one? Are you going to see it?
You can spoil it for me.
Yeah, you don't care.
I'm not bothered by spoilers.
Yeah. I would say spoiler alert, but the movie's like 20 years old, so.
So fuck you.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, then screw you. You. No, I'm just joking. The movie starts, there's some guys from this ranch who come into town, and they go to the whorehouse, and they're really drunk. And one of the guys is with...
What, does it get out of control?
Yes, it does. He has a knife.
Do they shoot the ceiling at one point?
No, he slashes up this prostitute in the face and everything. And they kick her out. The sheriff comes, and he whips them with the bullwhip, and that's it. And they're like, that's it? They send out this warning saying, hey, we'll pay $1,000 to someone who will come and kill these two guys. And so, basically, Morgan Freeman and Clint Eastwood are really good friends. They did some really bad things together earlier in life. Now they're both farmers. And he needs the money, though. And so he decides, well, maybe we should do it. But like I said, he hasn't shot anybody in a long, long time. He's quit drinking. I always get this line about my wife from this movie. He's like, my wife cured me of all my wickedness. That's what I say about Amy, because I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't do a bunch of stuff. But he needs the money, so he decides to go do it. And all you know is that, you know, he's done some bad things in the past, but you know, who hasn't, type of a thing. Anyways, they go to take care of his deal. At the end of the movie, when Gene Hackman, who's awesome in this movie,
is he trying to, like, basically level California so that he can get some oceanfront property in Arizona?
No, he's not.
No? Is he wearing a wig and he's really a bald mastermind? Alright, just checking.
There's a point where he says, your name is Edward Money, and you're the killer of women and children. And in this date you did this, and on this date you killed this many people, on this date you killed this many people. And Clint Eastwood looks up, because he's drinking now, and he's got his guns back and everything. He's got a shotgun, so he's using. And he goes, I guess I'd kill about just anything that crawls and walks upon this earth at one time or the other. And tonight, I'm here to kill you, Bill. And the whole bar's like, the entire bar full of Gene Hackman's friends. His deputies.
Like Gene Hackman's personal friends. Well, he's deputies, just like, hey, I'll get you on the set.
Deputies and people who have his back and everything.
Right.
They all freak out, and he's like, if you don't want to die, I suggest you leave now. And then they're like, sorry, gotta go. And they all leave him right there to die. He takes a shot, and he has a misfire, and he's like, misfire. Shoot him down! And then he throws a shotgun at him, and everything. Everything goes down, and he shoots like 7 people, like within 3 seconds.
I mean, it's what it does.
It's such a great movie. It's such a great movie.
It sounds violent, Adrian.
It's a Western. It's a Western. you know what? And it's a good a Western that I watch whenever I see it, too. And I feel kind of like a guilty pleasure because it's not really the best of movies. But The Quick and the Dead.
You know, that's the only Sam Raimi movie that doesn't have his car. He has... Okay, can you think of, like, Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2 when they have the car that Uncle Ben gets killed in?
What kind of car is it?
All right, how about The Evil Dead? Some kind of Pontiac? That. You've never seen The Evil Dead?
No.
What the fuck? Seriously?
You've never seen that, forgiven.
What about Evil Dead 2?
No.
What about Army of Darkness?
No.
What? Mm-mm. That shit we gotta rectify very soon, dude. You've never seen The Evil Dead trilogy?
I'll see what I can do on Netflix.
At least check out Army of Darkness, at least, man. It's hilarious.
It's funny, or because it's supposed to be funny, or it's just funny because of the
Well, okay, The Evil Dead is a straight-up horror movie that just is terrifying, yeah. Right? Evil Dead it's 2 terrifying. Is like, I would say so, at parts, yeah.
Okay.
Like, and just like, I guess parts of it, mostly just like, oh my god, I can't believe that just happened kind of thing. And then Evil Dead 2 is like a comedy horror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really funny. And
I've
then
heard
like,
them all. I just never seen
like,
them.
Horrific at parts. And then Army of Darkness is a comedy / fantasy action movie. And it makes combo. If you watch them in order, it makes sense how they got there. Because the second one lightens up from the first
one. This is
one,
the one you talk about. There's a guy named Ash.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is what I don't get. You and the guy from Hastings, Toby... Nathaniel.
Can I be honest with you? If you're a nerd, you should have seen like the Evil Dead trilogy. It's just
I will
one of
rectify
those things,
it. I'll
man.
Rectify it.
I'm not saying like you have to, but I'm just saying it's
still funny.
It's surprising
like,
that you've
so
never
funny.
Seen it.
You're like, I'm not saying you're not a nerd. But
if you're any kind of nerd, like it's shocking that you haven't seen it.
The you were saying that one of the other alternate endings, or he was saying the alternate ending for Freddy versus Jason was to have them with Ash.
That's possible, yeah.
Yeah, but how do you do that from a comedy?
Well, because Ash slays Deadites, and Deadites are like, if you saw like Evil Dead, not so much the first Evil Dead, but if you saw Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, you would understand.
So Ash is not how, a zombie or anything. Ash is a
no,
person.
Ash is a dude who kicks ass and has like the funniest comments when he does it too. Like he's a total blowhard, awful person, but when he's fighting the undead, he's badass.
Okay.
That's
Evil Dead.
I can lend them all to you if you want. I have them all on DVD too, so you don't even need a Blu-ray player. They're all worth checking
well,
out for their different reasons.
They'd be on... Well, just because I watched Walking Dead on Netflix, it says, if you like Walking Dead, you'll like this.
Yeah, and you will. yeah. So that, and this is the other thing about those movies. You do not have to watch them in order at all. Right. They are all done in a way where you do not need to
is
watch them in order.
Is one black and white?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the first one was 1980. It took 4 years to film. It's like super low budget, but it is genuinely terrifying. It was Sam Raimi's first movie. He did like the Spider-Man movies and Darkman and Drag Me to Hell and stuff like that. And then the second one basically sort of redoes the first one in like 15 minutes in a different way and then keeps going. So, like, you don't even have to see the first one to get to the second one. And the third one redoes the second one in, like, 30 seconds. and is done with it. And you don't really need to know anything that happened. Because the first one, it's like a horror movie where like they're trapped in a cabin and there's this evilness unleashed and it's coming after all of them, right? The second one is...
evilness unleashed.
Right, right. Like a kind of a typical horror movie, but it's like... It's done in such an awesome way. Then like the second one is basically like a comedy horror. And like there's parts that'll just make you laugh and then parts that make you cringe. And it's all kind of off and like... It's really enjoyable. Then the third one, dude... The third one is nothing like the other two. Like, just the funny parts of the second one. Because the third one is, like, they all wanted to do another movie, but they didn't want to do a horror movie. So it's, like, he goes back in time, and he's basically, it's a man out of time kind of movie. And he's got a chainsaw that attaches to his arm. And, like, it's so fucking funny, dude. You have to see it. You just have to see it, dude.
I will make time and I will watch these
films. Yeah, and even watch them for the mood you're in. If you feel like a horror movie, watch the first one. If you feel like just laughing, watch the third one. You know what I mean? If you feel like a little bit of both, watch the second one. You don't have to watch them in order. You really don't. Because there's not really continuity between them. There's not at all. So,
okay, now, horror genre. Werewolf movies. Which one is ours good? I know American Werewolf in London.
That freaked me out. That would be my favorite.
That's it. For the time for the year, it still feels pretty good.
Which one's the original? London is the original, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's my favorite. I also like the remake where what was it, American Werewolf in Paris?
Yes.
That was all right. A little CGI heavy, but it was all right.
Yeah.
Do you
prefer?
Although the happy ending didn't feel right for it.
Do you prefer
it,
for your werewolves to be werewolves or as men who turn into wolves,
like actual wolves? I don't know. I guess wolves because I really liked an American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. That to me, that's the gold standard for a werewolf movie. Like, and even just the stuff that happens around it, the whole like. You know, the Nazi zombies coming out and shit. Dude is like, what the fuck, when he's hallucinating?
No.
Or the whole thing of the undead following him around and like, the all of them, like, wanting him to kill himself and being... And then you have the two are just like, oh, hello, David. How are you doing? Like, overly happy. I thought that was really funny.
But... Well, it was the comedy break with the dead guy.
Yeah. That was
I almost watched Hellraiser the other day, and I got scared.
You got scared.
I don't know why.
It's an 80s horror movie, dude.
I don't know why. I was
like, like, Evil Dead might scare you, but I don't know about Hellraiser. But it's an alright movie. Hellraiser's alright. I won't talk it up like I'll talk up Evil Dead, though. Evil Dead is the way to go. Yeah, I can't really think of really any other werewolf movies that I even like. I'm not, like, big into werewolves either. I think I was when I was a kid.
What's the one with...
And then I got older, and Jack Nicholson? That's the one people always go to, Wolf.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb,
though. Yeah, it wasn't great. It was
imagine
all right,
a wolf
but...
at the Lakers game.
Dunking a basketball? That's Kobe Bryant.
What about mummies?
Mummies? actually, there was this one, and I can't remember the name of it, but there was one in the 80s that was a mummy movie that was really freaky.
When did mummies lose their joie de vivre?
You mean, like, when were they not anymore?
Yeah, no one ever makes it.
I would say the 50s was their last hurrah, and then after that, it was corny.
Wouldn't a mummy technically be a zombie?
Yeah. Yeah, like a really powerful.
There's not only a mummy, but that's an Egyptian mummy.
Oh, and Frankenstein, Age in a Shade.
Those are among some of the oldest mummies there are.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And it's just like I've been pointing out, if you guys heard the trailer earlier for Zombie Jesus, you know, Jesus was a zombie, dude. I mean, come off it, dude. He comes back from the dead. He was a zombie. There's no questioning that in my mind. Unless they wrapped him up. I guess it was somewhere around Egypt, right? No, it was Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. So it's
maybe
Israel.
They wrapped him up like a mummy. Maybe he was a mummy and not a zombie.
I want to say that they usually did.
Maybe he was a deadite. I don't know.
A deadite.
You never know. All I know is that motherfucker came back from the dead. And
all
that
I know
never
is that while we're talking about this, I'm going to stand a little bit further away.
This is the other thing about that whole thing is if you get, like, generally when people what lessons did Jesus impart after he came back from the dead? Did he impart or anything, or is just like, hey, see you later? Like, what happened? I don't remember that part of the Bible.
He says, he basically comes back and says, look, everything that I said is true, has come to pass. Before I go up to heaven, I'm here to let you guys know that you need to follow through with your agreed upon servants' services.
That was smart, because generally when you come back from the dead, like if your heart stops and they revive you, you generally have brain damage. So that's good he just hung on what he already said, because I might have been like, don't ride your tricycle out in the wind because you might fly.
You never know.
Right.
So no, his was basically saying that you need to be go out and teach the word of God to the nations.
And then what happened?
And then...
did he get staked?
Staked?
Yeah.
No.
Now, I mean, was somebody like the living dead and like put a stake through his heart or through his brain?
The only people who saw him were the disciples, and
they waved the torch towards him, and he went backed up. But I mean, what happened? Did he die again?
No. Then he ascended to heaven.
How?
He flew. That's how you ascend. He didn't climb a bunch of stairs.
So Jesus was a superhero?
He was the most superest of all the heroes.
He was Superman. He was sent here to save us, after all.
That's true.
You do know, like, Superman was an allegory for Jesus, right?
Yes.
It seriously was, yeah.
The point difference is that Superman saves people. Jesus gave you the option.
He's like, I'll save you, but you better believe in me. Like Superman never saves somebody from an accident, and they're like, I can't believe it's you, Superman. He just drops them and lets them fall. Well, Superman never did that shit.
It's like, you don't have to believe in him. You don't have to accept his help.
I'm not trying to give it a theological thing.
No, just... Superman is because it's going to say, I'm helping you. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he just saves you.
Saves you.
So does that make Superman a better person than Jesus, or does that make Jesus more effective than Superman? Because let's face it, dude, Jesus doesn't sound like would save Lex Luthor. And how many lives have been taken because Superman didn't take out Luthor?
Well, you have to remember that
maybe Superman has a Superman complex.
Superman's pushy. You're going to do what he says, basically, because he's Superman, and he will bend you like a horseshoe.
Well, all right, let me ask you a question. So if Superman is Jesus, who is Batman in the Bible?
Batman's Doubting Thomas. Thomas, the disciple Thomas.
How so?
Because Batman is very jaded. And, has little faith in people.
Okay.
If that makes sense to you, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess. I don't remember. I'm not a theological expert.
Thomas was the one that, when Jesus came back to life, doubted that it was him, and Jesus opened up, he took his fingers and put it in on his side, and showed him that it was him. It made him actually feel the flesh in order to show him that it was him.
Okay, so then who would Green Lantern be?
Green Lantern?
Yeah. Would that be like Moses? Who's the enforcer? Who's
Green
an
Lantern,
enforcer in
Green
the Bible?
Green Lantern would be like John, the brother of Jesus.
How so?
Because Superman's Jesus, we're saying, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is Superman.
Right, and Thomas is Batman.
And Hal Jordan is kind of like the pal of Superman, because they're similar in their powers. Except for, he's clearly not Superman. So I think that one would be that one.
So maybe he's like the Flash or something, or Aquaman.
Aquaman. Ooh.
Who's the dude in the whale? Jonah?
Jonah.
That's Aquaman right there. Who would Judas be? Would that be Luther?
No, because Luther was never a friend, right?
Well, he was in Smallville.
I never seen that show. I don't know.
Judas is Smallville Lex Luthor. Well, okay, all right. Who's another DC villain hero who became a villain? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Me either.
Oh no! Okay, Judas is Green Lantern, and here's the Hal Jordan, because Hal Jordan at a certain point in the comics had like basically he got turned into the Spectre, like kind of, and it killed a whole bunch of the, like went back on his core and killed a whole bunch of them. Before he eventually saw the light, but that kind of sounds like Judas to me.
A little bit.
Yeah, so there you go. Green Lantern. Judas is the Hal Jordan Green Lantern. Maybe before he saved. Because, I mean, did Judas ever repent?
Yes, that's why he hung himself.
Oh, well, then he's totally Hal Jordan.
But he hung himself.
Well, we don't know how Hal Jordan's story is going to end.
We don't know.
We don't know. He might hang himself eventually. He still feels bad about it. What about Mary Magdalene? I'm going to say Catwoman.
Oh, that's a really good comparison. I like that.
Yeah, that's just top of my head, dude.
What about Mary the Mother?
Wonder Woman?
Oh, she is probably the only other woman in the... And who else are... Well, you almost have to say yes, because Wonder Woman is the woman.
Maybe
Batgirl, and they don't really count.
Maybe Hera? Isn't Hera like Wonder Woman's mom, but not really, because Wonder Woman's made of clay, right? Had the unnatural birth.
Oh!
So maybe Hera in Wonder Woman comics is the mother. Jesus' mom.
That's hilarious. I like how you're finding all these...
I'm grasping at straws here, dude. I'm like literally taking like the seven senses I know from the Bible and just spinning it into like comic books. But wait a second, there's seven sins. Maybe the devil's making me do this. Maybe I better stop. Well, should we call this a show?
Well, what have you got there? Oh, let's call it. That's not bad.
All right, I'm calling it. So
call it in.
All right, so I think. We learned some things today. We learned that a Friends movie, not a good idea. I Am Legend sequel, maybe a good idea. I will say, I could get behind a sequel if it's done well, even though it pisses me off. They're going to have to change how it ended to make it work. I will say that since it's off an original property now, I could like it. What else did we learn? Presidents. Right. Best presidents ever, fictional. General Zod.
Majority of them.
Who was yours? Who was yours?
Warren G. Harding.
Fictional president.
Fictional president.
Oh, the one, Bill Pullman from Independence Day, right? President Bill Pullman.
Today is our Independence Day,
and we learned that in the Bible, it was really they were really telling the story of the Justice League, not the David Justice League. It was a different League of Justice.
A peace. I know what they do. They're parasites.
What?
They go from planet to planet, using all of his natural resources, and then they move on. Nuke them.
Independence Day.
A little Independence Day for you.
It took me a minute to figure out what the fuck you said. Like, you were grasping your head when you started saying that, and I thought it was a scene from Scanners you were acting out, and your head was going to explode.
Never seen that.
But you don't really need to. It's not a good movie, but it has a great scene, which you could probably just YouTube.
Scanners, I've seen the scene.
Scanners head
I've
explodes.
Seen the scene,
That's
yeah.
all you need to see. That's
who
all you need to know.
That, who uses that head exploding?
Wayne's World 2. Or no, Wayne's World 1. Where he's like, you ever seen that scene in Scanners where that dude's head explodes?
No, someone uses that scene all the time, like on their late night show or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. Jimmy Kimmel?
I don't think so.
David Letterman?
Oh, no, it was the one guy, the tall, skinny guy who used to have a show. Craig Kilborn.
Oh, the Scottish guy?
No, the guy before him from E!
Craig... fuck was that guy's name? Greg Kinnear?
No. Because
he had a show for a little while.
It was a guy, he used to do Soup a long time ago, too.
Yeah, Greg Kinnear.
Not Kinnear. I know who Greg Kinnear is. It's a different guy. He's taller.
You mean Craig Kilborn?
No, that's the Scottish guy.
No, Craig Kilborn did The Daily Show. He's a very American dude. And he used to do SportsCenter before that.
Oh, yeah. He's real tall and blonde. And
yeah.
Kind of a douche, too.
He was right funny. After Letterman.
It's funny because he's a douche.
I guess, yeah. I didn't really watch the show too much.
His was always that head exploding. It looks really fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and that's how I say, like, that's all you need to see in Scanners is the head exploding scene. You really don't need to see that movie. It's not that great, but great scene. Anyway, we learned Scanners is a great movie. I feel like we learned a lot today.
I do, too. I feel that I was able to hold my heart in while it almost exploded several times watching my daughter jump on the couch and almost fall to her death.
Yeah, I'm glad that my daughter can teach your daughter how to do death-defying couch leaps as she does at my house, and it drives me
insane. You
know,
you think you're all super tough, and then you have a kid.
Yeah.
Jesus. Hey, Serenity, give me a five. High five, there we go. Don't eat that penny.
All right, so for the Day of Justice League, I'm Alex Biggs, small.
I'm Adrian, regular name, A. Harrison.
We'll call you Manda.
What?
Mandolin.
Manda? Don't call me Amanda, please.
Mandolin.
That sounds like my name is Amanda.
No, but like the
answer. Yeah, don't do that. Let's
call you Gibson.
Strongly.
Electric. Let's call you Electric. Adrian Electric.
That sounds kind of gay.
All right, we'll just go Thunderbolt. You threw that one out already, right?
No, I didn't. Was that you? You threw that out.
No, I didn't. I came up with, I repeated Thunder, and then I think I threw in Typhoon or something.
Let's do a little salute to my friend Eddie, and we'll just stick with Droop.
All right, so I'm Alex Biggs Small.
I'm Adrian Droop Harrison.
Take it easy.